How many of you rather be here than the best hospital in town? The best jail in town? Yeah, so it's, you know, we've had Janice and I've had a great time with leadership, with Charis Bible College and then the Kingdom Builders last night. We love your pastors. You know, when Jesus died and ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. And some of those gifts were pastors. And how many of you know when Jesus gives gifts, they're the best? Amen. And so I just want to encourage you, Life of Faith Church, don't take for granted the gifts that God has given you and your pastors and Mark and Jennifer. I tell you, Janice and I pastored for 27 years. And so I know pastors, okay? And you guys have the real deal. Amen? The other thing is I really appreciate the fact that they're going to receive an offering for our ministry. That's awesome. But here, let me give you a real strong encouragement. Do not give me, my ministry, what belongs to the local church. Okay? Because I pastored and that's what happened a lot. And I don't want your tithe. I don't want what you had planned to give to the local church. That won't bless me, Janice and I, at all. So, if they receive an offering for us, we want to make sure that the local house is taken care of. So, how many of you going to be faithful with that? Amen. Praise God. Okay. So, you know, I've got some things in my heart I want to share. I also have a funny to share with you. But I've got some materials back there, resources that I just want to. It's not about selling books and CDs. It's about resourcing people. So this is the best healing book that I've ever written. It's also the only one. It's called Your Healing Door. I was healed of cancer, thyroid cancer, and several years ago, and then my son Michael, who's Andrew Womack's daily television producer, was healed of a muscular arthritic condition a year later, and what we learned through that, and also subsequently helping other people walk out their healing, is there's not just Jesus. It's always Jesus' will, God's will, for people to be healed, but he doesn't always use the same method. And in fact, it's different from, and it really, a lot of it, which I'm going to get into today, a lot of it depends on our hearing. You know, God connects healing and hearing. And so faith comes by hearing. And it's not, doesn't come by what you heard in the past that God told you to do. So this book will help help you receive healing. And I know you guys are ministering on healing and miracles on Wednesday night. So, who needs healing, and will read this and then give it away once you receive healing? Praise God. Okay, then this is my latest book. It's called, Mark mentioned it. It's called Flowing in the Supernatural. It really is just practical side of allowing the gifts to move and activating people in the gifts, and where we're not swinging from chandeliers, and where it doesn't weird people out. And the bottom line is this, guys, is that I love prophetic people. How many of you are prophetic? Okay. I love prophetic people, but too many times what happens in the church is the highest value of prophetic people is their own liberty to operate in the gifts above love, what's best for the body. Amen. And that's out of order, right? Yes. God does want you to have liberty to operate, but he wants you to make a higher value of love. Yeah? And that way you're not ministering out of a need to be needed. And there's all kinds of really good stuff in this book, how God will show you things to come. You can, how to judge a prophetic word, all kinds of good things like that. So where's a prophetic person that's willing to repent and come in divine order? Praise God. Here you go, brother. Praise God. All right. And then this is I've got another book back there called Scriptures to Live By. It's just categories of Scripture. My son got healed off of us just quoting three different categories of scripture over him. And this is my book called A Prosperous Soul. I'm going to teach some out of this morning, because what I've discovered is that many times, in our spirit man, we're just like Jesus. And in our spirit man, we have the mind of Christ, we have healing, we have all the inheritance that Jesus gave us at the finished work of the cross. But between our spirit man and our body, where we need it manifested, is our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. And where things dam up and get clogged up is in our soul. And we've got to steward and guard that part of our heart in order for the life that's in us to manifest outwardly. And so this is a powerful book. So who would admit that your soul's messed up and you need... I'm teasing. Okay, come on, sister. I don't mean totally messed up, but just a little messed up. Well, we can all use a little improvement. Thank you for your humility. In Jesus' name. All right, praise God. And I'll be back there to sign books at the end. And all four of my books you can get today. Instead of $50, you can get it for four for $40. So we have a Life of Faith deal. Hallelujah. All right, open your Bibles wherever you'd like. I'm going to be in Proverbs 14:30. Okay, and then I'm going to be in Hebrews 12. Proverbs 14:30 and then Hebrews 12. So before I get into the Word, I'd like to tell you a funny. Is that okay? This is called Gun Control Regulations for Seniors. So I got my concealed gun permit today, and I went over to the local Bass Pro Shop to get a small 9mm pistol for home protection. When I was ready to pay for the gun and the bullets, the cashier said, "Strip down, facing me," making a mental note to complain to the NRA about the new gun control regulations. I did just as she had instructed. When the hysterical shrieking and alarms finally subsided, I found out she was referring to how I should place my credit card in the card reader. I've been asked to shop elsewhere in the future. They need to make their instructions to seniors a little clearer. I still don't think I look that bad. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Okay, Proverbs 14:30 says, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." So, a sound heart, what is going on in the soulish part of our heart is going to impact our physical bodies. And what's really in my heart about 2020 is that God has specific instruction for you individually to move into your destiny, to move into what God has prepared for you, and to move into what which includes healing. Yes? But we can't move into our destiny, we can't move into what God has prepared for us if we're stuck like Chuck, living in the rearview mirror, singing with Barbara Streisand the way we were, or with the Beatles, "Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away." And if we're looking in the past, or we haven't processed our pain, our disappointments and losses and things that have gone, and betrayals, 2019 I've just been ministering to people at Charis Bible College and in the body of Christ as we travel, was a tough year for some people. And there were losses that people went through. There were disappointments and delay of promise and betrayals and people doing things that shouldn't have happened and where our focus can get on what should have been or what could have been. Anybody witness what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
How many of you experienced loss or betrayal or accusation, false accusation, or just disappointment because of a promise that you know is from God, but it's been delayed. And the Lord wants to, He sent me here to tell you, He wants you to transition and He wants you to know that the deal is still on. What He spoke to you is still going to come to pass. And nobody can stop you from that but you. No one can keep you from moving into your kingdom inheritance and your destiny. Nobody who stepped in the way or tried to stop you or accuse you or, you know, talk bad about you or betrayed you or, you know, lied about you or rejected you or whatever. None of that can stop you from what God has for you. Nobody can stop you but you. And the word that I have today is God wants us to process our losses and the pain and the disappointment of the past so we can move, so we can hear Him clearly and move into what He has for us. Amen. Including healing. Yeah? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And that word issues, you look it up in Hebrew, it means borders and boundaries. The borders and boundaries of our lives, the spiritual borders and boundaries of our lives, in other words, our kingdom potential hinges on you and I guarding our heart. And what happens is things happen and we get disappointed, and hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I've come here today to heal your heart. Or more importantly, just to be the messenger that Jesus is going to use to heal your heart. Jesus is, first of all, the healer of the brokenhearted. And yeah, He wants to heal your bodies, but I'm telling you, we pastored for a long time, and my book on A Prosperous Soul, the reason I wrote it is because I found out there's a whole lot more people that are heart sick than body sick. And at many people's, not 100%, okay, but many people who are having consistent problems, chronic physical problems in their body, is because they've got, their heart is sick. There's disappointment, there's loss, there's pain. People, you know, they've gone through a broken relationship, they've gone through a divorce, they've gone through some kind of loss. And guys, listen, we've got to learn to navigate our losses if we're going to hear God and move into our kingdom potential for 2020. Amen. And this is very important to God, that you fulfill your potential. Are you hearing me? Yes. And I'm sorry for what they've done to you. I've got my own war wounds and things, and I could compare it with most of you, and I would beat most of you. But I don't have the smell of smoke on me.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
When Jesus said, if you've been struck on one cheek, turn the other cheek, I don't believe at all that what the reason He said that, I don't believe at all He was saying, let people hit you again or be a doormat for somebody's physical abuse. Here's what I'm convinced, absolutely convinced that he's saying is I want you to live from the unwounded side. I want you to get out of victimhood. Stop reminding everybody to just try to get sympathy from them about what somebody has done to you, and you're singing somebody done me wrong song and all this stuff. Live from the unwounded side. You're a victor, not a victim. Don't be rehearsing what everybody did, and you've got to process your losses. So you live from the unwounded side. Yeah, I've got scars and all that, but I'm not showing you the scars and telling you how bad a life I've got. I've got the scars that I am valuing are the scars on Jesus on the cross. And I'm going to value what He did for me more than what people have done to me. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. And I know I have a kingdom assignment today that to help you process your losses and your pain and your disappointments so that you can move into your full kingdom potential. How many of you are interested in that? He said right here, Proverbs 4:23, the borders and boundaries of your life or your kingdom potential is going to depend on what you allow to go on in your heart. So turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. And I'm just going to kind of break it down for you. I'm just going to give you the example out of Hebrews 12 of this example that he uses of somebody who's heart's sick and the impact that has on that individual. And I know I'm not just preaching this for those who are watching online or those who are going to get this CD. I know I'm speaking to someone who's gone through some disappointment and loss and pain or betrayal. How many of you have experienced some of that in your recent past? I'm going to have an altar call for liars for the rest of you at the end of the service. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated or dislodged, but rather be healed. But rather be healed. Don't let yourself be dislodged, but rather let yourself be healed. So whose responsibility is that? The one who's lame or the one who's gone through a wound. It's not all the responsibility of the one who wounded someone. And he goes on to say, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. How many of you want to see the Lord and hear the Lord? Okay, you can't do it if you don't walk in this. You're not going to do it. You're not going to see him or hear him clearly. And then looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. How many of you want to do that? How many of you want to fall short of the grace of God? No, we're canceling that out, Wendy. That's no. I mean, the grace of God, that's just everything we need and everything God is and everything we pray for, right? Jesus has already provided. But he said you can fall short of it. And then not only that, fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause you trouble and then defile others. How many of you want to be a defiler of others? So here's what happens, guys. He's just telling you that there are times in your walk with God that everything's going strong, everything's going well, you're walking tall, you're walking sure, you've got a hold of the Word, you're believing the promises, and then somebody does something, says something, you know, it just hits you low blow. You're believing God for this job and this promotion, and some Christian friend You know, interviews for the same job, but then they throw you under the bus and talk bad about you, and they get the job in your place, and you find out that in order to get it, they had to dish you and talk about bad about you, and you know, pull things out of context, and they got the job. Not fair, Jesus. But now, you're you had it in your heart to be on the worship team, and you auditioned, and you knew God was telling you, and they chose somebody else. Well, I'll just take my voice and toys, and we'll go down the road. No, it could be a promise that you got from God, and it didn't happen, or it hasn't happened yet, and where you're walking strong now, your hands are hanging down. And your knees are feeble, because you're sucking wind because something that you believed God for didn't happen, or somebody got in the way, or somebody lied about you, or somebody persecuted you, or told something about wasn't a half truth, and then the people they told didn't give you the opportunity to tell the whole story. I mean, anybody with me on this? And, you know, or it could have just been the fact that you had a promise from God and it's been several years, or it could be healing or something else, and it hasn't happened yet. And the heart can become sick after a time of delay, and your hands are hanging down. And he's telling you, listen, when these things happen, they are going to happen in life, guys. And he said, I've got promise for you in 2020. I've got places for you to go. I've got people for you to see. I've got ministry to release through you. I've got kingdom potential I want to release in and through your life. But you cannot get into that if you allow what someone else did, what the devil did through people, to cause you to become dislodged.
Amen.
Dislodged from what? Well, dislodged from your intimacy with God, dislodged from hearing God clearly, dislodged from the body of Christ, dislodged from your kingdom purpose.
Amen.
He said, look, when that wound comes, when lameness comes, when people talk bad about you on Facebook or whatever, when that happens, okay, don't let yourself become dislodged. Rather, you let it be healed.
Amen.
That's not right, Jesus. They did that. I didn't. I know. He knows that. But the healing is, and the not allowing yourself to be dislodged is on you and me. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he might be talking about you today. And then he said, and then he adds to it, by the way, if you want to see the Lord clearly and hear him clearly, you've got to let yourself be healed, not dislodged. And then he adds, you know, to add insult to injury, now you don't want to fall short of the grace of God, do you? This is how people fall short of the grace of God. They let themselves get offended. And you can read in Matthew 24, when people get offended, they enroll in the school of false prophets. And they learn their ways of hatred, betrayal, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. They separate themselves from God's purpose, separate themselves from the body of Christ. They start, they're here on the second row, and then they're in the back row, and then they're gone. Now, you know, here's the deal, guys. God has called, here's the real message, is that God's called you and I, Life of Faith Church, to reach out to those people. But how are we going to reach them if we haven't processed our own losses? Are you hearing me? And so, I've been there, guys. I mean, I've got lots of stories I can tell you. God spoke to Janice and I. We'd pastored for 22 years in one place, and God spoke very clearly to me. He had a new assignment for me. Then within an hour, I had this prophet that came to our church every year that I trusted. He called me and said, Greg, I've just been in prayer. God said, get ready. He's got a new assignment for you and Janice. And so I talked to my wife, and she felt the same way. The desire to be where we were had lifted, and we had raised up a son in the faith to take the church. But we didn't tell the church right away. We just prayed and made sure this was God. We talked to Andrew and other people we're in relationship with, and it all seemed to be line up. And I was on the board of a large African ministry. In fact, their home office had been in Jackson, Mississippi, and it moved to our area. And I was helped that the CEO or the president wanted to resign. He was in his 70s, and I helped him to write the job description. I helped him to interview people, and he called me one day about 6 months after God had spoken to us, and he said, Greg, I keep comparing these people that we interview to you. Would you consider doing this? And we prayed, and we got counsel, and we knew we heard from God, and this was, you know, we took the over that ministry. He was going to help us. He was going to stay with us for 6 months to a year to help transition things, turn it over to us. We were with that ministry. I'd been on the board, but now I'm the CEO. And for 7 months, I still pastored while I was over the ministry as well. And that was in 2010. And so during 2009, 2010, so in a recessionary time, the ministry grew from 600 partners to 1,000, from 1 million a year to 1.2 million, all kinds of systems and things put in place. So I finally said, you know, it's time. I'm going to turn the church over to my son in the faith. Andrew sends a video. Bob Nichols, my pastor, comes, and we have this big banquet. And, you know, we turn the church over in January of 2011. We turn the church over. And then I took my wife to Africa. We have a 50-team team showing the Jesus film in 7 different African nations. And there were close to 2 million decisions for Christ. We were going to establish more discipleship, developing leaders, that kind of thing. And we noticed when we went over there, I'd been over a couple of times, but this time when my wife was there, we noticed the way they were counting the salvations were not really great. They were loose with that. Also, everything, all the money flowed through one African bishop. And he was wearing silk, and everybody else, you know, not so much. And so we knew we needed to make some changes. So I think that's what happened, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, we came back 7 weeks after I handed over my church. We came back from this trip, and the president calls me in his office. And now we're friends. He's a Christian. We're buddies. Never had any argument, and he fires me. He terminates me. I get my pink slip. I have to clean out my office. I've never been fired in my life. And I asked him, I said, well, could you tell me what for? He said, well, it's just not a right fit. I said, no, you know, it's a right fit. And I gave him all the reasons, but it didn't change things, John. I'm still out on the street, and I'm in my 50s. And it's like, do you understand how many of you could get offended with me? For me. Do you understand? I just gave over. I handed over a 24-year successful church, and I can't go back and take it back now unless I'm like this guy, right? That ain't cool, is it, Tim? I mean, and then I got people getting with me, a friend of Mark and Jennifer's, and I mean, he was pastoring there. He was, well, you need to go, you need to. Well, let me go talk to him. Oh, we'll take him out, you know. And he was just talking, okay. He wasn't going to do that. But he said, well, you need to sue him. I said, that's great. Pastor sues Christian ministry. That's wonderful. No, this was a major loss. I'm walking strong. We're seeing things happen. We just turned over to the church, and it's the church is doing well. In fact, it's still doing well, and I'm going next month to or in March to minister there again. But I mean, I'm walking strong, and now I'm lower than a snake's belly, man. Are you hearing me? Not right, Jesus. Not fair. I go to Pastor Bob Nichols, and he said, oh, I preach myself out of a lot of problems. He said, you need to preach for me tomorrow night. I said, could you wait till Sunday morning? I am wounded. I'm hurting for certain, and it's not, I couldn't, there was no, it was a dead end to try to figure it out. Are you hearing me? And I finally had, to get to a place. I said, Lord, I'm not going to look for a job. I'm not looking for anything. I said, I'm going to spend time with you until I get this off of me and get it committed to you where it's out of my heart and my heart's healed. I am not going to let this man's ungodly decision cause me to become dislodged from my purpose, from hearing God. He can't stop me from what God has for me. Andrew, I told Andrew about it, and he said, oh, Greg, he said, don't worry about it. It's just a sign of an insecure leader, jealous of someone doing their job better than them. He said, you need to take it as a compliment. I said, compliment, man, I need a job. But more importantly than a job, I needed to get this off of me. I needed to get that loss, that pain, that hurt. And I'm sure there was something I contributed to it. There was some reason that he never tell me, though. So I can't even repent if I did something wrong. I don't know. Still don't know this day. And I did negotiate a 6-month severance, and then anyway, so we took a month to get that, and it's like sticky flypaper. And you get it over on the Lord, then some memory of what happened, and it's not right, and it's not fair. Somebody else comes along and tell, look, I've got a good lawyer. You can be set for the rest of your life, Greg. No, I'll be upset for the rest of my life. I'll be dislodged for the rest of my life. My responsibility is to not allow that lame condition to cause me to be dislodged from the body of Christ, from my purpose. Are you hearing me? From hearing God. And I made the decision. You know what? That guy's, his decision, I don't ever have to know why. The bottom line, because why, you're asking why, you're never going to get the right answer. And so, you know what? My job is, as it's on me. God took me to these verses. He said, you've got to let your heart be healed. So we took about a month, and it was sticky flypaper. You know, it's on one hand and off the other, and we got it off. Okay, finally, and then 7 weeks after I got fired, well, I went over. Some of you would know Paul Milligan. He was the CEO. For Andrew, well, he met Andrew in my church. He was an elder in my church, and I went to tell Paul about it. He said, pray with me, Greg, because he said Andrew's asked me to start a business school, and he said I can't tell him yes and I can't tell him no, because he couldn't move there because his mother, he was taking care of his mother, and his mother couldn't move to the altitude, the higher elevation. And so I came home and told Janice. She said, you get on the phone and call Paul right now. That's God. You can help him start the business school. You've been in business. You know what he teaches. And Paul can travel back and forth. I said, that's not God. She said, you call him right now. I called Paul. And he said, that's God. And seven weeks after I got fired, I'm in Andrew's office, and he's offering me a job to help start the business school. and also help Wendell Parr with all the extension schools. And then now, and I've moved in different positions, now I'm the director of Charis Bible College. And I'm standing before you here now because of my relationship there and the platform I have there. My books are going all over the world, and my message is going. I mean, it's like I'm pinching myself, but it's because when what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good, because I didn't let myself become dislodged. And I want to take, how many of you give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I want to take just a few minutes, because I'm not going to have time to unpack all of this. In fact, I've got a CD series I ran out on healing the brokenhearted and navigating through loss. You can get it from you can order it, or you can go on gregmoore.com and order it. But I want to talk. I just want to share with you some simple principles that God used to help me navigate my losses, and to let my heart be healed. And I'm talking about literally 7 weeks from the time I got fired. I'm in a better position now. Not only am I in a better position, they let me work remotely and write curriculum and do all these things until we moved there. And I got paid for four and a half months. I got two paychecks. Here's the point, guys, is what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for good, but it's altogether how we respond to it. I said it has altogether to do with how we respond to it. And there's somebody in here, you've got a hurt from many years ago you haven't processed. And it's time for you to navigate this loss. It's time for you to process this loss and you move into your future. There's someone here, there's at least one person here who's stuck in a time warp of your pain. And God sent me here to get you out of that ditch, because you are not a victim, you're a victor. Amen. And where you're going to live now, no longer are you going to remind people of your wounded side, you're going to live from the unwounded side. Amen? Who's up for that? So I just want to give you some things real quickly that the Lord helped me with, okay? And look, I've gone through other things besides this. I went through an involuntary church plant, otherwise known as a church split, and my worship leader took a third of my congregation, and I was complaining about that one time, and the Lord said, "Don't worry about it, son. You're in good company. My worship leader took a third of my congregation too." But you know, you go through stuff. We go through stuff. But the bottom line is, are you going to get through it? Or are you going to live from the wounded side? So how do you process your losses and let your heart be healed? Number one, if you want to write these things down, it might help. Number one, admit your heart needs healing. You can't receive healing for it. And I'm not saying identify with it. I'm just saying admit. I'm hurting for certain. And Jesus, you are, first of all, healer of my broken heart. Is that what Luke 4:18 said? Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. Is he still healing broken hearts today? Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, sat on a wall, had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But Jesus can. And Jesus has come to heal your heart today. I don't care how many pieces your heart's been smashed into. There's some young woman here who you've been through two major heartbreaks in relationship. And the Lord wants you to know He's got healing for you. And healing doesn't mean you turn the other cheek and let somebody abuse you or hurt you again. He's just saying, if you'll trust me, let your heart get healed, and you stop trying to protect yourself, God will show you somebody. He's got somebody for you to bring into your life who loves Jesus more than you. It will not break your heart, but God will heal your heart. But you got to let your heart get healed for you to hear who that is. So you got to admit your heart needs healing. You got to recognize you've been wounded in the house of your friends. That's what Zechariah 13, 6 and 7. One will say to him, "What are these wounds between your arms?" And he'll answer, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." I mean, that's where you're going to get wounded, guys, is in the house of your friends. And you know, I'm sorry that happens. I mean, it happens because we trust our friends, right? And not everybody is trustworthy. So number two, don't identify with the loss. Your loss does not define you. Don't identify with it. Don't allow it to dictate your identity. Again, you're a victor. You're a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You're a victor. Say, "I'm a victor, not a victim." And then I'm speaking to someone watching online right now. Get up. You are not a victim. You are a victor. Get up from that place and identify with the Word of God. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors. Amen. Number three, and I'm just hitting these things quickly. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the last two, but number three is you need to prioritize your loss. You need to look at your loss from an eternal perspective. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart." And see, that's where a lot of people are. They lose heart. How do you not lose heart? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Everybody say light affliction. See, you're acting like this thing is the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It's a light affliction. Even though this light affliction, which is but for a moment. Everybody say it came to pass. My favorite verse, it came to pass. Didn't come to stay. This situation's going to pass, but for a moment is working for us. You got to make it work for you. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. So you got to get an eternal perspective on this. Now, you know, God's protected you from that loser. I know your heart got broke, but God protected you from getting a lifelong commitment there, and He's protected you. You know, when you get to heaven, you're asking a lot of questions now. Let me tell you, the first thing you want to know, the first thing that's going to happen when you get to heaven. How many of you'd like to know? Not enough of you. I'm not going to tell you. Okay, here's what you're going to do. You were good. You were right. You were fair. Even though it didn't seem like it. That's our promise. Our problem is our seamer. Let's have a seamer adjustment. Come on. We need to adjust this seamer. It just didn't look right. Didn't look fair. But bottom line is, I'm going to get an eternal perspective on this. I'm going to make the devil pay. Because I'm going to respond right. I'm not going to let that hurt, that disappointment, that problem, that betrayal. I refuse to allow it to dislodge me from my intimacy with God, Conan, from my relationship with the body of Christ, from my purpose. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Then thirdly, well, I mean, but basically on this one is look, whatever I've lost, it's not greater than Christ to me. Whatever I've lost is not greater than Jesus to me. And you can't take Jesus from me. You can't take my birthday from me. And you can't take Janice from me. If I've got Jesus and Janice and my birthday, man, I am fine. You understand? And nothing I've lost is greater than Jesus to me. Then number four, is this okay? These are things I had to do. I had to intentionally process this. Number four, forgive everyone who contributed to your loss, including yourself. There's someone here today who's stuck because you haven't forgiven yourself. If God forgave you, who are you not to forgive you? Now, I've got the airport in sight, so don't get nervous. We're going to land here in a minute. But Jesus, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave us. How did God forgive us while we were yet sinners? How are we to forgive others, even if they never apologize? Even if they never apologize, we're to forgive them and release them from the judgment of what they deserve. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying, here's the deal. I release you from even owing me an apology. I release you from any judgment that I might have about what you deserve because of what you've done, because I value what Jesus did for me and you. And I forgive you. And then here's the thing about forgiveness. You need to understand this about forgiveness. Many times we do forgive others. Then the memory of what happened or some additional thing comes up, and then the anger rage or the guilt or whatever, all these feelings, feelings, nothing more than feelings. These feelings come back, and because the feeling came back, you automatically assume that you didn't forgive them. That's a lie. You're going to have the feeling. I'm not making this. You're going to forgive them, and the feelings are going to come back a dozen times. But it does. Who gives a rip? I'm not led by my feelings. Are you kidding me? No, if that feeling comes, I say, you're lying, feeling. I forgave that person. Well, the problem is we agree with our feelings. And we give authority to our feelings, and we get right back in. Well, I guess I didn't forgive. No, you forgave. That's just your dumb flesh. It's just your feeling. It's going to come back. You forgave them, and don't let your feeling rule in your decisions. Because, the memory of what that guy did, and it still makes me mad from time to time. But I don't stay there. No, I forgave him. And then you go back and you hold up the truth of what you did and what Jesus did higher than the fact or of my feeling. And then he's already forgiven, and you get out of here in Jesus' name. Because I'm not letting that feeling rob me from the grace of God, rob me from my intimacy with God, rob me from my healing, or rob me from my purpose. You agree? Finally, we've landed. Even had a smooth landing. Apply the cross to your bitter waters. Apply the cross to your bitter waters. It's Exodus 15, 23 and 35. Let me just reference it. Exodus 15. 23 through 35, and they came to the bitter waters of Marah. Now when they come to Marah, they couldn't drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Everybody say bitter.
Bitter.
And they were there. Remember what happens if you don't allow your heart to get healed? It becomes what? A root of bitterness. And they called the name of Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. Everybody say a tree. When he cast it into the waters that were bitter, the waters were made sweet. Waters here are a type of our soul. The tree is a type of the cross. What we have to do, if we're going to receive healing, we have to apply the cross to the bitter waters of our soul, to the temptation to become bitter. And how do we do that, Greg? Well, do you want to know the reason why that you're stuck in the past, in a time warp of your own pain? Would you like to know the reason why?
Yeah.
It's because you value your pain and loss greater than the cross. You're valuing what people have done to you greater than what Jesus did for you. And that's where we had to come to. We had to come to that place. You know what? I don't know to this day. It's still a guess in my mind why this guy fired me. Was that right?
No.
Was it right for him to fire me when I just handed over my church? Are you kidding me? Still's not right. But I'm on the street nonetheless. And it's like what I have to do is I have to choose to apply the cross to those bitter waters. And how do I do that? How do I practically do that? Jesus, I value what you've done for me and that individual greater than what someone has done to me. I choose to value what you've done for me greater than what anyone's done to me. I choose to value what Jesus has done for me greater than what anyone else has done to me. They fired me, whatever. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I'm valuing the cross greater than my loss. And you know what happens? Those bitter waters become sweet again. And people can partake of the sweetness of Jesus for my soul. I'm living from the unwounded side. Amen? So here's what I want to know today. Who would be humble enough to say, you know what? In 2019, or it could have been, who knows, 2017. What you've gone through pain, you've gone through loss, you've gone through disappointment. In one case, somebody's really disappointed in the Lord because he promised something hasn't come to pass yet. Trust me, guys. If God promised it, it's going to happen. The deal is still on. But you want to steward your heart. You want to hear His voice again. You want the life that's in your spirit to flow freely. Some of you can't receive the full measure of healing God has for you, or at least wholeness on a consistent basis because of this root of bitterness. And it's time to get rid of it, guys. You've gone through loss, you've gone through pain, you've gone through disappointment, betrayal. And today you're saying, Lord, I'm going to let you heal my heart. I'm going to admit this message is for me. If that's for you, I want you to stand right where you are. You know God's speaking to you. Those of you watching at home, watching on live stream, just stand up if God's speaking to you. Anyone else? You've gone through loss. You've gone through some pain, and it's limited your ability to hear. It's limited you. You can't see the Lord clearly. You've allowed yourself in some measure to be dislodged, and you say, "No more. I'm not going to do it. I'm processing this loss, and I'm moving into 2020 free." In Jesus' name. All right. Put your hand on your heart. I'm going to pray for you, but then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Father, for those who are standing, those who are watching at home, I release grace, Father. The same grace that brought healing to Janice and I. The same grace, Father, to give them eyes to see, ears to hear. in Jesus' name. And Father, give them strength to forgive their offenders, to forgive every person that's hurt them, and even themselves. I release forgiveness in Jesus' name. And just say this with me. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for what you've done for me at the cross. I want to thank you for the purpose that you have for my life. I want to thank you for my kingdom inheritance. And Lord, I receive grace right now for my heart to be healed. I choose to forgive every person who contributed to this pain, who contributed to this loss, including myself. I choose to forgive them. My feelings don't dictate my forgiveness. I forgive them. I forgive myself. I release them from any penalty, any judgment for what they've done. Because I choose, Lord, to value the cross greater than my pain and loss. I thank you for healing my brokenhearted. I thank you, Father, for the anointing to heal my heart. Make the bitter water sweet again. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I just release the healing virtue of Jesus in every heart, every person, Father, that stood. Lord, let them walk this out in freedom. Lord, let them hear from you clearly again. Father, let them move into their purpose again. That person cannot stop them from your purpose, Father. Can't stop them from what you have for them. In Jesus' name. No longer are they hostage. No longer are they in bondage to that. And I just free, Lord, free. I free them. I free them. I free them in Jesus' name. Praise God. Guys, there's the healing power of God flooding your bodies now. The healing virtue of Jesus is flooding your body. That there's no blockage anymore. That life is, that man, there's like the healing virtue of Jesus. Cataracts are being healed right now in Jesus' name. Poor vision is being healed in Jesus' name. I just speak 20/20 vision over you in the name of Jesus. Floaters are dissolving in the name of Jesus. Kidney infection, bladder infections are leaving your body right now in the name of Jesus. Praise God. All kinds of arthritic problems. Your knees are being healed. Knees are being healed right now in Jesus' name. There's a healing power of God in your knees. And God, the pain's leaving backs right now. Praise God. Man, I tell you, the healing power of God's flooding this place right now. There's someone that's got some little growths in your body, and those things are dissolving. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you. Let's lift our hands and thank him. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for healing. Thank you for health. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for a reconnection, Lord, with the body of Christ in a powerful way. Some of you now, trust is going to rise again. You're going to trust authority. You're going to trust people. You are not subject anymore to those lies of the enemy. You're going to trust again, and what you're going to watch and see, God's renewing things in your life. There's all kinds of powerful things happening right now. Most importantly, your ears are in tune. Your eyes are going to see clearly. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let me do one more thing before I turn this over to Pastor Mark. How many of you know you're born again? If you died tonight, you're sure you go to heaven? Lift your hand. Okay. Is there anyone not sure about your relationship with God? You either don't know if you're born again, or you're just not sure. Or maybe you are sure, but you've been a prodigal and you're coming back home. And you know, I really believe that there's somebody that's been relating with the body of Christ just out on the surface. It's like you haven't, and here at Life of Faith Church, you come to church, but you know, every once in a while, but you're not really a part. God said, you're a part. Come on in. The waters are fine here. Amen? So if that's you, you either don't know the Lord, you've been a prodigal, and that doesn't mean you've been out living a life of sin. You've just been living on your own. And God said, it's time for you to come back to Father's house and connect with the body. If that's you, I just want to pray. I'm not going to have you come down. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, lift your hand. I'm looking. I see that hand. Thank you for your humility, man. I just agree with you right now in Jesus' name that you see your value in the body and how much the Lord has need of you. We need your gifts. And Father, I'm just praying for those that lifted their hands that there's just a release in their heart of trust that this is a safe place. This is your house, Life of Faith Church. This is your church, and that you'll connect. That there'll be this release of trust, and I just break off fear. I break off pride, anything that would hinder you, and I just want to call you in to the house of faith here, in Jesus' name. Tell somebody about that. If you meant that, then tell somebody about it. But in fact, let's just all pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the body of Christ, for this local church. I commit myself to trust you with the leadership here, with your purpose for my life. And I yield to your purpose, my commitment to the body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, we love you. It's been great to have this weekend with you. I speak tremendous blessing over your life. I would love to hear back from you through your pastor's testimonies about, you know, how God's healed your heart, given you faith to reconnect to your purpose. Because I'm telling you, 2020, God's got so much good for you. For in 2020, you're going to have to squint to see it. It's amazing what He's got for you now that you're not living in the rear view mirror. Amen? God bless you guys. We love you.